Bible would have you believe this. But Christ himself was tempted, yet never sinned. If you are tempted, yet you do not sin, do not consider yourself guilty. Because temptations are not sinful. It is one of Satan's deceptions. Now, verse 2 says that Jesus spent 40 days fasting. That means going without food. Such fasting puts him in the ranks of Moses, Elijah, who fasted for 40 days all for the purpose of concentrating on God, His will, His word, and mastering their bodies. Jesus was spending time devoted to preparing himself for the difficult road ahead, the difficult road that eventually leads to the cross. Nevertheless, being mortal, like us, he still has physical needs. He became hungry. It says there, he needed to eat. Just because he was God did not mean that he couldn't go all 33 years without eating. He had to eat like we did. I would imagine that, after having not eaten, after 40 days, he had an intense appetite for anything. Verse 3. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, and if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. The devil says, I'll emphasize the word if you are the Son of God. The devil is a master of deception and doubt. He always tries to cast doubt on anything that makes us certain about ourselves and God. The same is happening here. That if you are really the Son of God, he's trying to make Christ doubt himself while in his weakened condition. But also, another way of looking at the word if, look at it on a more indicative statement. If can also mean since you are the Son of God. The devil could also be saying that Christ, as the Son of God, has the power to command these stones to become bread. He's trying to get Christ to abuse his power as the Son of God, to abuse his position as the Son of God. Either way, whether the devil's trying to get him to doubt himself or to abuse his power, the devil is trying to get Christ to satisfy a basic need, hunger, but do it in a sinful way. This is the first of three examples we're going to see in this passage of how the devil tries to deceive us. In this instance, the devil tries to appeal to our earthly and our carnal needs and desires. Again, Jesus, after 40 days in the desert of fasting, he's hungry, he needs to eat. In order to carry out his ministry, he needs food to regain that strength so he can move forward. Satan steps in and tries to use his basic need to get him to abuse his power and to show a lack of trust in God. If Jesus were to use his own powers here, he would be saying that he does not trust God. He doesn't need God. That he can rely solely on his own ability to survive. Satan does the same thing for us today. Satan tries to convince us that we need to listen to our earthly desires and needs and do all that we can to meet those needs using our own powers and our own abilities. Men and women who have the desire for love, for wealth, for health, for survival, for happiness. We have these needs. These are things that God has given us. Now, in God, we can find all these things, but not always in the way that we think they should look, or the world says that they should look. In verse 11, we'll see in a little bit that the angels will come and will meet his needs and they will attend to him. But Satan does not want Jesus to rely upon God. He does not want Jesus to look to God for the answers. He is saying, don't wait for God. Don't look to him for help. Don't follow his scriptures. Don't obey him. Do it yourself. You can do this. Forget about God. Don't rely upon him because you can do it your own way. And where does that normally get us? Where do we get in our lives when we try to rely upon our own abilities without God? Men and women who routinely try to meet their own desires always find themselves pretty deep in sin. God gave us needs. He gave us hunger, thirst, happiness, love, and so forth. He gave us these. Those are all good and natural. There's nothing wrong with those needs. That's how we're designed. Understand this, though. Satan wants you to satisfy as Christians must rely upon God and His will. God knows what is best for us. God knows how to take care of us. God will provide what He knows to be best for us. Therefore, when you are facing issues involving earthly desires and even basic needs, do not pursue any means that will go against the teaching of the Bible. Go to God and He will provide. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 4. And says, but He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How does Christ begin with His answer? Three words. It is written. Where is it written? God's word. It's written in God's word. We should always go to God. For any problem or any situation, go to God's Word. If you think that the answers are not found in God's Word, then you and Christ don't think the same. As you will see in all three instances, He went to God's Word. It is written. The answers are there. Blessed is the man or woman who knows the Bible. I'm very proud of all those who are daily Bible readers. Keep it up. Lord, the answers are right there. When Satan tempts you using our earthly needs and desires, don't turn to the world for answers. Turn to God. Find out how God would have you meet those needs. For instance, if you need physical, you desire sex, be married, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 9. If you desire food, then find a job to get to work, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. But whatever the issue is, we can find it discussed in the Bible in some way, shape, or form. Do not resort to stealing, or lying, or prostitution, or drugs, or so forth. Don't rely on those things. That's how Satan would have us answer our needs. They may appear to meet those needs. They are Satan. The final point of this first temptation is this. Physical existence cannot be separated from our spiritual existence. The two have to be married as one. When Satan tempts you with the physical, always turn to God. Keep a spiritual mind. Therefore, from the first temptation, we learn that Satan tries to deceive us by offering us ways, sinful ways, to help us meet our basic needs and desires. Verse 5 and 6. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Well, the first temptation failed miserably. He could not get Satan, he could not get Jesus to sin. Jesus would not distrust God and so commit sin by using His own powers to make bread in an unnatural way. He even used scripture to tell Satan that he was going to stick every word that God had come from the mouth of God, and that God's word would sustain him through all struggles and all difficulties. In response, what does Satan do? You see here. Well, this is what he does best. He adapts, he reloads, and he changes location and tactics. Satan will not give up. He's very, very intelligent. It is interesting to see how Satan takes Jesus from the barren wilderness to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, how he did this, I do not know. That's beside the point. But what can we learn from this here? Wilderness, temple. Satan can attack us in the harsher realms of the world, in the low places. But he can also attack us in the comfortable confines of the church. There is not a place on this earth, whether you're in the world or amongst Christians, that Satan cannot tempt you. Even here today, while we sit amongst each other as brethren, Satan is looking for some way to attack one of us. Where are our minds right now? Are we here? Or are we back in another situation? What's going on right now in our minds? Just because you're in this building does not mean that you are protected from Satan. I think we tend to believe that, unfortunately. He verse 6, Satan tells Jesus to throw himself off the temple and call upon God and his angels to rescue him and keep him from harm. He even quotes Scripture, quoting Psalms 91, 11 through 12. This goes to prove to us that Satan is no dummy. He is very, very intelligent. He knows the Scripture. He knows God's Word. Satan is powerful and intelligent. Do not underestimate him. Do not belittle him. He knows. He's very intelligent. I fear that far too many Christians take Satan lightly. Our society has done a lot to water down Satan. He's just some red guy with a pitchfork. No, he's much worse than that. You can't describe how evil he is. Satan needs to be respected as a powerful force in this world working with us. In the previous temptation, you will recall that Satan tried to deceive us by appealing to our earthly needs and our earthly desires. Hunger was in this case. In this temptation, Satan is trying to deceive Christ by acting as if he wants to help spread the ministry. How, you might ask? How is he trying to help the ministry? Well, think of where they are right now. Think about this. They're at the center point of all Judaism, the temple. Satan is saying, you know what, Jesus? You could save yourself a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of pain, if you were to just, hey, everyone, look at me up here. Then just leap off the temple, call down angels, have them rescue you, and then declare you're a son of God. There, bada bing, bada boom, you're done. I'm the son of God, follow me. Would that not look pretty awesome? Would that not look like divinity, possibly? If some man were to jump off the temple, then all of a sudden angels come out of nowhere and rescue him and set him down lightly on the floor, would that not seem pretty godly, I guess, out of this world? I would think so. That doesn't happen any day that I know of. Satan is appearing as an angel of light from 2 Corinthians 11:14. Satan is appearing, I want to emphasize the word appearing, to have a genuine interest in helping Jesus in his ministry. Come on, Jesus. Let's show them the power that you have as the Son of God. If you were to go to 2 Corinthians 11:14 and read the context of that scripture, you will find Paul talking about false teachers, disguising the Word of God. Disguising it. False teachers are people who take the Word of God and they twist it. They take it out of context and even use it to support their sinful things. Allow me to read to you 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. Again, 2 Timothy 4, 3-4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure a sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance by their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths." The devil is going to take innocent-looking things, things that may even appear righteous and appear helpful, and lead you into error. He will make you question the teaching of the Bible. He will make you think that they're outdated. 2,000 years ago, what kind of bearing do they have on us today? They'll make you think that cultures change and we need to adapt with it. He would have you come up with your own way of worshiping God or your own way of spreading the message. Such error has led churches to welcome homosexuality, to allowing women to leave the church service and worship, to bring in instruments because it creates a beautiful sound that surely will please God. Such error has led men to coming up with new modern days of advertising Christianity, to compromising our beliefs, to believe that faith alone saves, or that we need to baptize infants, or that baptism isn't even important. It's a work. We don't want it works. They all start off as innocent ideas that people have that they think will better serve God. They then perform these acts and they expect God to use their ways of spreading the message. What does Jesus say? Verse 7. Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Not put God to the test. I grow weary of people who do crazy and death-defying stunts. But before they do it, they pray and ask God to protect them before they launch themselves over some ravine. I grow weary of people who do drugs, who live loose sexual lives, or become lazy and claim that God just wants me to be happy with who I am. It pains me to hear people believe that they can go to church on Christmas and Easter. I call them CE Christians. And that's enough that God is loving, that He will surely save all of us. You know who they're listening to? It sure is not God. They're listening to that sweet, that innocent, that ear-tickling voice that says, "You shall surely not die." Do you remember the first time we heard that? Adam and Eve? What happened to them? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Obey His commands in the Scripture, and do not try and alter or change them. Do not take them out of context, as Satan does. But when you take them out of context, you can make them say whatever you want them to say. For instance, 1 Timothy 5:23 says, "No longer drink water exclusively, but to use a little wine." Do you think some people have never tried to take that out of context? Oh yes, and look what we have going on these days now. When you do that, who's nearby? Who's watching? Who's applauding that? Satan actually differences. Folks, when you take things out of context and or abuse them as Satan does, you stray from God's commands. From our second temptation, we understand that Satan will try to deceive us by using things that would appear to be holy and good. That hits awfully close to home with us as a congregation. We need to be watchful. We need to be ever vigilant. Verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.'" The first and second attempt of faith. Satan has appealed to Jesus' humanly needs, and he has appealed to Jesus' spiritual understanding. Now, Satan is turning into that roaring lion, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He is trying to get Jesus to submit to his perceived power. He is claiming to have control over all the dominions of this world. But think about this. Does Satan truly have the power to hand over everything to Jesus? Remember what Jesus declared of Satan in John 8, verse 4. In John 8, verse 4, it says, You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is a murderer. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. Again, why do we want to dilute this? Satan is our enemy. Again, did Satan have the power to give Jesus the kingdoms? I think he's a liar. I think he was blind because Satan is a liar. Satan is going to lie to you. He will tell you whatever he has to do to get you to do what he wants you to do. He will say whatever he has to do in order to get you to bow down and worship him. He will promise you power. He will promise you riches. He will promise you pleasure. He will promise you happiness. He will promise you anything. Everything, only if you just refrain from doing God's will. And it is as simple as that, to refrain from doing God's will. You may not think that you are obeying the devil by just not doing God's will, but if you're not serving God, who are you serving? You can't be in the middle. If you don't do God's will, then you're serving the devil. There is no middle ground. For Paul says in Romans 6, 17 to 18, that either you are a slave of sin or you're a slave of righteousness. Either or. And Jesus even says in Matthew 6, 24, which says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The overall point is this. Either you obey and serve God in all that he commands, or you are by default serving Satan. Because not serving God, not obeying his commands, is exactly what the devil would have you do. Besides just being a liar and offering us power, I see here in this text of Matthew 4, 8 through 9 that Satan attempts to scare us using his perceived might. Remember that roaring lion. If you were to see a lion outside of a zoo, he's walking down the street, would you be afraid? I think I would. I don't know what I would do. It's fast and powerful, but I would be very, very terrified. Satan is going to use his power to try and force you to submit to him. He can take many forms. He did a lot of that during the Roman persecution of the Christians. The fear of being killed, the fear of being persecuted, forced many Christians to get off their knees and to recant their faith just to make the pain stop and go away. The same is true today. We may not be feeling the death that they did, but being a Christian can sometimes be uncomfortable or not very convenient at times. There's peer pressure involved. Any one of those things. There's enough of that going on to where weak-minded Christians are willing to give it up just to make the pain and the distress go away. Satan is more than willing to apply some pressure if he thinks you're going to turn away from Christianity. He will do it. He's not afraid to do it. But what is Jesus' response? Verse 10 and 11. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Whatever Satan offers you, whatever Satan scares you with, whatever Satan says, you must worship the Lord your God. Do not follow Satan. Do not worship him. Do not follow after him. Do not give in to his promises, his schemes, his ideas, or anything else. He is going to try and appeal to your physical needs. He is going to try to appeal to your spiritual understanding. And he is going to try to appeal to you out of power and fear. Whatever he does, you need to stand strong and tell Satan to go. What did Satan do in verse 11? He certainly left him. And God sent his comfort down to Jesus and full of angels. Now, as we close this morning, I want to briefly go through the three points that we have covered today. Satan is going to do whatever it takes to get us to follow him. He will appear as a serpent, he will appear as a lion, and he will appear as an angel of light. In verse 3, Satan will try and tempt you using our God-given earthly needs. He will try and have you turn to the world for answers. He will try to have you look to the world and not to God on how to meet your needs. Never separate anything, not even your needs, from God's work. In verses 5 through 6, Satan will try to tempt you by misusing or abusing Scripture. Remember, he knows it harder than any one of us here in the room. He will try and have you come up with unauthorized ways of serving God, things that God would never find pleasing. They may seem to work. Again, throwing yourself out of the temple and having angels rescue you, that may be a good way to bypass the cross and get people to follow you. That may seem to work, but those are not God's ways. Stick to what is plainly said in the Bible. Leave everything in context and understand that God's word is to be used and to examine other parts of God's word. And lastly, in verse 8 to 9, Satan will attempt to either awe you or scare you with his perceived might and power. will promise you every pleasure in the world, or he will promise you every pain in the world. Whatever it takes to get you to follow him. Do not listen to him. He's the father of lies. Instead, look to the scriptures and God for help. Now, how do you know whether it's Satan himself taking you? You don't. Satan has demons, and he has evil people in this world. But it is still his will that's trying to be done. He wants you to turn away from God. He doesn't care if it's him or a demon or another person or a situation. He doesn't care what it takes. He wants you to stop following God. And he will do whatever it takes to get that done. With him on the lookout. Watch for traps. Watch for tricks. If you can do that, as verse 11 indicates, God will assist you and will take care of you. So as you leave here today, as you get back to your jobs, school, family, friends, activities, whatever your routine is, be mindful of the attacks the devil has planned for you. Stand for what is right. Stand for God's truth. Read the scriptures. Become a daily Bible reader. And be prepared, just as Jesus was prepared, for battle with the devil and temptations. Use God's word in your tools. Now, if you're here today, and you find that the devil has the better of you, God can help you right now. If you have not been baptized, come forward, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, take on the water of baptism, be reborn into a new creation, and repent of your sins, and God will guide you, protect you. If you are a Christian and have fallen for Satan's tricks, it is not too late to get rid of them. Let us help you by coming forward and making them known to us. We can help you do anything. Just